my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel in my soul. Can confess this right here. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. Raise your hand, sing it out. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, yes, is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Amen. Let's sing Amazing Grace right here. Before we turn over the service. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the I first. Let's praise God a minute, amen. Praise God. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, through many dangers, amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise than when we. Hallelujah to the Lamb this evening, amen. Sing it out to him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. To the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. I cry for your healing. By his blood we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Accept your healing this evening. Amen. Let's change over the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See him, don't you? And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn to your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1, and then we will go to Acts 2. Ephesians 1, Acts 2. Remember the announcements now, the fellowship meeting at Brother Longora's. We'll be leaving no later than 10:30. So if you desire to go along or whatever, let us know. We'll try to make arrangements or whatever we can. But just make sure you let us know way ahead of time, because it's a pretty good trip that we have to make. So if you want to go along, be fine. So just do that. Remember that. And I think that's all of the announcements. Any more? Anybody? Okay. So then Ephesians 1 and Acts 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. The fact that our eyes have been opened unto thy word, to where that we can see the day, the hour that we're living, and see what's transpiring. And Lord, that we can walk in the light of your love, because we know that as your light shines in our on front of us, we just take one step at a time into your word. And we walk, Lord, very lightly, because it's a horrible time and a situation where Satan on every hand is trying to pervert everything he can, changing things, doing this and making it hard this way, that way. But yet we know and realize that you are God and you change not. Your word changes not, so we can depend on it. We can depend on then believing it and walking in it. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you. Bless each one. Remember those that are not here and the different reasons, and just bless and guide each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, watch now, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. For how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now let's go to Acts. I don't know how much we'll get on this part, but we'll just read it beginning to Acts 2. We'll begin verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Like I said Sunday, Brother Brown would always say, what shall we do to be saved? Because that's what's being done. That's what is being told here. Then Peter saith unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I'm trying to get a point to us to make it helpful, and I'm that Sunday morning, you know, I kind of was going to bring the thought tonight of what I've pushed it over one more message because I want to bring it Sunday when more or less more people is to be here, and I want you to hear it. So I'm asking you to please either listen, you know, be here and listen, or either get the tapes and things. We make the tapes. I mean, you don't even have to go to your internet. If you'll just let us know, we'll make you an MP3 copy of the services to where that you can listen and things, all right? And I wish you would do that because it's a point I believe is going to be very needful, and I believe it will open up a lot of the Bible as to things that we, we need. I told one brother, he came in my study one time and he said, I'm leaving, Brother Dale. You know me. You come in my study and you say, I'm leaving. Well, goodbye. Now, if you come in there and say, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about things or discuss it with you or whatever, if you tell me what you're going to do, I'm not going to argue with you. Because you say, I'm going to do so-and-so. What do you think about it? I'm not going to answer you. You done told me what you're going to do. So he said, I'm leaving. And I said, well, would you do yourself a favor? He just looked at me. Would you stay this afternoon? I want to preach on something that you don't know. You don't think I know it? I said, no, I know you don't. No problem. So he walked out that evening and didn't come back. Well, I know he didn't know what I was talking about because he wouldn't have left. Okay. But I'm just saying to you, I want to speak to you about something that I believe is very valuable from being able to connecting our thoughts from up in heaven and foreknowledge and things like that to come down to earth and to be able to be made manifest here upon earth. And I believe it'll be very valuable, so at least listen to the tape. All right. Now, what was we talking about Sunday afternoon? You know, we were talking about you must be born again, because that was what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus, as we know, couldn't understand that, you know, because it had been spoken of throughout the Bible of the Old Testament that he should have, and I'm sure he did, you know of a lot of things. He knew of the coming of the Messiah and different things like that. He knew those scriptures and relation to it. And as I was giving the scriptures there, you know, about Jesus even said, you know, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a nation, or given to the Gentiles is what it was. It was because of their rejection. All right? See, Nicodemus, though, he couldn't follow that line of why you must be born again. And surely he couldn't follow the line of you must become as a little child to enter into the kingdom I'm talking about. Remember, Pilate was not afraid of him once he had stated that my kingdom is not of this world, or else, you know, my servants would fight. He wasn't afraid of that. He knew he was speaking of something different from that, and I guess he thought he's a pretty good guy, you know. But yet they couldn't comprehend what was being said, all right? Now, I want you to think about it, because it's going to have to cover a large point in a minute. See, the disciples couldn't understand. Maybe Nicodemus didn't hear all of the parables, the things that I've asked you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just look at all of the things related to the kingdom. Really, everything of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John through the ministry of Jesus Christ was speaking of a coming kingdom. Yep. Right? All right? And then we know it couldn't come because the one that was the king of it was standing there, and he was telling them all the way through, I've got to die to be able to release the life that's within me, you know, paraphrasing scriptures and bringing it to you and I, that to understand the kingdom, we would have to be born again. And if the natural man receiveth not the things of God, see, he can't do it. So then all the way through, he was speaking of the, you must have the new birth. Well, we're going to read a scripture in a minute that I want you to think on, but I want to just get a few things down to where we can follow that line, and then we'll get our thought. Now, first off, you must be born again. Why? Because you're born wrong. Right? We was born wrong. That solves that problem. All right? Then we found out that this kingdom that Jesus was speaking of was not in any form a natural kingdom, but was a spiritual kingdom that must come from above where he came from. All right? Are you with me? All right? See, then, now, tonight I want you to think on, because we got something we'll kind of go through in a minute, but where does the new birth take place? You know, does it take place in your body? Does it take place in your spirit? Or does it take place in your soul? All right. Now, we'll follow that thought, because I want that laid down before we get back to what I want to speak of in a minute on the scripture that where Jesus was actually speaking to Nicodemus. All right? So we know that the new birth is in the soul. Because you're not born again in your body. You're not born again in your spirit. Now, I know the prophet, we will explain that in just a second, and give the two quotes to show the parts of where he would say body, soul, spirit. Then he'd say body, spirit, soul. All right, we'll get to that in just a second. But I want you to think about it, because Brother Brown says when you must be born again, he said you are a soul. That's what you are. The part inside of you. All right? Now, we can have the anointing, we know of the message, the anointed ones. You can have the anointing on your spirit every day of your life and still die and go to hell. Is that the words of the prophet? See, have an anointing on your spirit. All right. So then it's not the birth of the spirit, although I wish that God would do that. You know, I like what Brother Lee Vail, I heard him say something one time. He said something about God baptizing. And he said, and I wish he'd baptize our minds. You know, and I agree with that. All right? But see, you are a soul. That's what you are. Because Ezekiel 18:4 says, all souls are mine. All right? Now, it goes on, and there's three places in the Old Testament that uses the scripture that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. All right? And that, it doesn't say in the scripture, the spirit that sinneth. It says, the soul that sinneth, getting it down to the basis of understanding. All right? And Brother Branham says on souls in prison, paragraph 44, That soul is what God is working on. That's what he's working on, is your soul. Because the soul is a being. That's why that people don't understand. See, the Bible said he gave his soul a ransom. All right? See, God had to come down and give his life. And to release that life was not just an anointing that was upon him.
That's right.
Because that left him in the garden. Come on. You know the message. Now, we've been through this for 40 years, so anybody on the internet, you just have to say, well, hey, wait a minute, what's he saying? Brother Brown said the Spirit left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
Huh? Now, but the soul, when he died out on the cross, he was... That soul was what was still alive, because that soul is what the being.
Amen.
And Brother Brown said, then he sent back on the day of Pentecost his soul in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right? So then a soul is what you are. On that paragraph 36 of souls in prison. He says the nature, that's what we will, you know, people like that nature of this, nature of that. He says the nature of your soul is God. If you are born again. He said if not, it's of the world. I quoted that to two soul men standing up in front of the old armory at Jeffersonville, and he said, because see, that was their thought was the soul is just the nature of the spirit. He said, how can a nature have a nature? Because all his was his nature. And then Brother Brown said, the nature of your soul is God. He said, how can a nature have a nature? I said, why don't you ask Brother Branham? I mean, he's the one that said it. I didn't. You know. But do you understand? Because see, here's something that has been argued all the way through, that mankind and the message people I'm talking about is constantly arguing over things, and they'll use quotes for what they want to use as to say what they want it to say.
Yep.
They won't give you an opposing thing.
Right?
They only want the one they want. Right? Well, I think Brother Branham straightened out all of the opposing things that was supposed to be straightened out. But I think there was things left in the message that Brother Branham said that he didn't go back and straighten out because there wasn't anything wrong with it. So he didn't have to straighten it out. He straightened out what had to be straightened out. All right? Because you see, 40-something years ago, this is what I've been teaching. So you can see that it's not a new thing or a new thought. Go ahead with number three, brothers, and let's just get started on that thought, because we got to divide this right here to be able to understand the rest part of what the new birth is. Because I'll go ahead and ask the question. Now, Jesus said you must be born of what? Water and spirit. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Now, Peter says, you're being born again by the incorruptible word of God.
Right.
So that must have been what Jesus was saying.
Right?
They got to both be saying the same thing, right?
That's right.
Now, let's put number three with it. Brother Branham says the new birth consists of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now that must be what Jesus was saying.
Right.
Or else you've got a birth here different from a birth here. I know. I require for you to think a little bit. Well, why not? God gave you a brain. Why not use it? You use it for every other garbage can. Right? Right? Why can't we use it sometimes to think about God and His Word? So what was Jesus talking about when He said you must be born of water and of spirit? We'll get to there in a second, okay? Now, in a message in 1962, because basically, now I said basically in the old ministry up until, really you can't pick it up until after the opening of the seals as a direct statement of form. But up until the last part of the 62s and the first part of the 63, Brother Branham, in explaining the triune being, explained it as body, soul, spirit. Now, I said basically, I didn't say anything, because there is some statements he makes that will prove, like blasphemous, greatest battle ever fought, were, see, what he was saying was right. This is not going to change Brother Branham. He was right. But it just takes the Holy Spirit to be able to answer the question. See, it says now, this is 1962 now. Now, a man is made up as a triune being, soul, body, spirit. Now, it doesn't matter if he flops the words around up in this way, and in his thinking and talking, he will say soul, body, spirit, soul, spirit, body. But now when he's asked a definite part or answering a definite part, he lays it down in order, right? Okay? And watch what he says. Now the outside is the body. There's five gates to that body. And that's the five senses, of course. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, like the seed that's planted, the inside of that is the pulp, like of the seed, which is the soul. There is five gates to that. You enter into conscience, memory, so forth. But inside of that little compartment is the third compartment, which is the spirit. And that's what controls the rest of it. There's only one avenue through that, and that's self-will. All right. So now he's explaining the triune being as body, soul, and spirit. He gives the outside five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The second rim, memory, reason, conscience. You know the rest of them. There's five. The inner has only one sense, faith or doubt. Okay? But now look when he gets, go ahead with number four, and look when he gets up here to 1965. Works is faith expressed. Yeah? Remember, 65. And remember, you're a cycle of three, but you're one person. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, cycle of three, but one person. Three attributes of the same God, fatherhood. Three offices like fatherhood, sonship, Holy Ghost, and you are body, spirit, and soul. Now watch it. And the outside body has five inlets to it to contact your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, number two, right? Inside, same as he used the other. Which is a spirit, it has five senses, conscience, love, and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul has one thing, that's where you live. Now, I mean, I'm sorry to be sarcastic. All of these people saying, Brother Brown was wrong here, and Brother Brown was wrong there. You never hear them approaching that. I've never heard of one of them say that Brother Branham was wrong there. Maybe they got enough sense to realize he was a prophet. But he wasn't wrong. He was right. Because he always, no matter what he called it, he gave the body five senses, the second rim, no matter if he called it soul or he called it spirit. He gave it the five senses, love, memory, etc., etc., whatever. The third rim, he always gave it one sense, either faith or doubt. All right. Now, you say, well, why didn't he straighten it out? He didn't need to. Maybe that was one of those things that's left for mankind to argue about. Because we would establish definitely that the birth, new birth, would be the inner rim, the innermost part of us. That would be a sensible statement, right? No matter what you called it. So then, he's right. It's not that you say, well, he said this, but he... No, he didn't say. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. But the reason I like it, I like the scriptures. Because I believe that Brother Branham, being a prophet, I believe he growed in understanding of the Word of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now we can prove that by the fact he didn't know the seals, because nobody knew that. I mean, that solves that problem. That just gets it out of the way. So don't think of a little bit you're thinking. Is it? No, just think about sensible. He didn't know the seals, so he didn't know everything. Because he come up there on the first one, you know, on the each seal, he'd say, I don't know what that next seal is. Well, now, if he did, he lied. And I don't think he did.
Amen.
I think he waited until God opened the seal.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Well, then you could say, Brother Branham, you said body, soul, spirit. Then you said body, spirit, soul. Which way is it? He said, it's the opening of the Word. Because I thought that's what we believe Hebrews 4 and 12 is saying. That what? The piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Piercing. In other words, getting down into something. And dividing asunder to know the difference.
Right?
See, then that would mean that as the prophet came along, he was greater understanding was coming. And I don't believe that he needed to preach a sermon to straighten it out.
Huh?
But I believe that's the fivefold ministry's part.
Right.
Is to show that he wasn't wrong. Because see, if you take the old two-soul doctrines, and in the two-soul doctrine, they'll say, you get a new soul. Yeah. Well, what do you get? What about it? What is it, Ezekiel? Where it talks about the spirit and the things, you know? You understand what I'm saying? That has been my way of doing all the way through, is to go with the things that everybody thought was contradictory and let the Holy Spirit have a time. He'll bring it together. Because like I said, greatest battle ever fought, 62. He's talking about, but the Spirit has one sense, the Spirit. Oh, let's get it. The Spirit has one sense, and that sense is either dominates it is faith or doubt.
That's right.
Well, I want you to do this, if you will. Go home, take your Bible and a concordance to give you the definition of the words. And look up soul and look up spirit. And see if it's not so intermingled, as we would call it, until there's no division. But yet we take it for what we want. See, the two soul people wanted to kill one soul and let the other soul be alive. That was why it was called two souls. Well, see, they said the devil gave you one soul, God gave you another one. God destroyed the devil's soul. Now, this is their wording. And he said, you know, the other one didn't need anything because it always was eternal. Now, according to my understanding of the Scripture, if I'm wrong, I'd like for you to correct me, but I thought some way in there the Bible was speaking that God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. Is that your understanding of the Scripture? Now, you tell me God and the devil's in your soul at the same time, I'm going to tell you, you don't understand the Scripture, period. You need a new birth. Let's don't go that route. Let's get an understanding to where that we can follow something as a lineup throughout the Word. And that we can see that the Word is true. All right? Now watch what he says on the message. Go ahead and pull up number 5 there, which is Anointed at Not, 1965. He's talking about that God in the Trinity is one. And by the Trinity, he's not God. He can't be manifested any other way. And neither can you be manifested without being the Trinity person that you are. That's it. That's body, spirit, soul. Okay. Without either one of them, you're not complete. See? You don't have a soul, you'd be nothing. Or you didn't have a soul, you'd be nothing. You didn't have a spirit, you'd be nothing. You didn't have a body, you'd just be a spirit, not a body.
Yep.
But you see, church, if you can't understand the difference between soul and spirit and get it in the right order, see, then your quotes come at you like Brother Brown said, you could be anointed on your spirit every day of your life. Right? So you can't be born again in your spirit if you're just anointed on your spirit and be lost. So the new birth must be on the inward part of mankind. You know, what you really are. A person. Right. Now, we get back to the question because we're going to read the Scripture. Go ahead to number 7, which is John 3 that we've been reading. And we'll get to our question. It's number 7 on your notes. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. No wonder Nicodemus was confused. Right? You must be born of water and a spirit. And Nicodemus had enough sense to know that he was born from his mother and the water broke. Why do you think he related back to, can I go back there? So what was Jesus talking about? You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Going back to mama and break the water the second time wouldn't do no good. But that is the truth. You know, because you wouldn't be a living person if you hadn't have been born first of water. Right?
Yep.
Okay. But what is he talking about? I told you, I said, we'll get on over a little bit. We may get into some things that require just a little bit of thinking. What is it to be born of water in a spirit? When we'll take away the natural, because that's natural, right? That's natural, right? You'd first have to be, for Brother Collie to be sitting there, that means the water broke, you come from his mother, and life was given for him to live. But that is not the new birth. That's the natural birth.
Amen.
So what does it mean to be born of water and a spirit? Now remember, I've made this statement because I was leading up to this, okay? That Peter said, and you can go ahead and run it up if anybody needs it, go ahead and run up number 8 where people can read it, how that you're being born again, now, by the Word of God. And look how he gets. Does it kind of compare with Peter as to Jesus? Jesus was talking about the wind bloweth. He was giving an example. You can't follow that in your understanding. Look at Peter. What? But have been corruptible by the Word of God, which liveth in the body forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. As we'll get along, we'll see another point. Why is it that it has to be preached? But is Jesus saying one thing of how to enter the kingdom and Peter saying another one? Because Peter's saying you've got to be born again by the incorruptible Word of God. All right? Now, is Peter explaining that different? So then you would have two ways to approach a new birth. Well, okay then, I'm a good old Baptist, you know. Bless God, I'll take what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19 over what Peter said in Acts. You ever heard that? Maybe you done that and talked like that years ago before you come to the truth. Did that really straighten out things? Oh, boy. He straightened that feller totally out, boy. Now, Peter and Jesus has got to be saying the same thing. Now, according to the prophet of God that we claim to be following, I didn't give him a number on this, so we have to pull it up. But see, it's not there with the shuck, Brother Anderson, that I gave. Oh, he ain't there somewhere that Joe would want to. Paragraph 48 and 49 of See, Not Air with the Shuck. I gave him three more afterward because I was going an entirely different way. But listen to what he says while they're getting to that. God is perfected in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a perfection of the Godhead. All one God in three manifestations. Three attributes of one office or three offices in the one Godhead. There is also three in perfection. Okay? And there is also three in perfection of the steps of grace for the church, or to the church. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That consists of the new birth, just like the natural birth is typed by it, which a woman gives birth, which comes forth water, blood, and then life. So now, if that's not what Jesus was speaking of, then you make Brother Branham wrong. Because he said that's what it consists of. And if Jesus is not saying the same thing Peter said, who's right and who's wrong? I say they're all three saying the same thing. It's a difference in expression of the time, the situation, the existence. But they're all saying the same thing. All right? So then, justification, sanctification is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That consists of the new birth. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, see? Saint justification, sanctification, baptism. Now let me ask you a question. Why is it that Jesus never used water, blood, and spirit? Because that's the natural birth, right? Am I right? Natural birth, water first, blood, and life, okay. And that is what the consistency of the new birth is the same example as a child being born. Why would Jesus not say, you must be born of water and of blood and of spirit? Remember, the Bible is written in mysteries. If you read the parables, I hope you caught that. You know, us good old Baptists, we used to think that Jesus spoke in parables to make it simple. That's not what the Bible said. He said he spoke in parables to hide it. Right? If you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you surely read that. He spoke in parables to hide it. So you see how easy it would be to hide from the smartness of mankind. Because he said to Nicodemus, you must be born of water, blood, and spirit. Maybe that was the reason, because that's the thinking of Nicodemus. I must go back to my mother. Maybe there's a lot more said that wasn't said, you know, written down to be said. But my point is, you know, God does things to where he can hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. Where? Now let me put it this way, all right? Where in the Bible? Now, come on, you got to listen with me, so don't run off. Click your computers and stop thinking. Where in the Bible is there a scripture that says you must be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost? I mean a scripture now. Right? It speaks of justification. It speaks of sanctification. It speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the prophet of God could bring all of that together and explain the new birth. But you don't have a scripture that says you've got to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You see why the world can't follow this message?
Right. Amen.
You see why they can't follow the preachers of this message? Because they just throw it out. You got to be justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They say, oh, you're just a bunch of Pentecostals. Because that's what they believed, right? You know what? That was the truth. Everybody's ever born again had to go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. The disciples went through that. That's what we were talking the other night in the Bible study. See, you say, but Luther, he just had justification. Now, how narrow-minded can we get? Luther believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of his sins, and was clean and sanctified. Because he wasn't living like the devil. And then justification came alive as the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the man. But don't try to bypass justification and sanctification to do like they're saying now in the message. It's just a baptism. That's been about 20 years now. They're preaching. You don't have to go through all these. It's just a baptism. I'm just still old-fashioned enough to believe that a natural baby comes. I don't care if they're going to take the baby. Caesarean, they steal water, they steal blood, and they steal a baby. You may break the wrong one cutting with a knife, but it's still there. And that's where I still believe that you must be justified. Repentance.
Amen.
The goodness, the Bible said, of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
That you must repent of your sins. You see what the people is telling him? It's just a baptism. All right, come up and get something. Well, you did act like you moved a little bit and maybe shouted just a little bit. And you believe the message, don't you? So you're born again. Now, where would Brother Branham talk about like that? He said, we Baptists beat them on the back till they come through with something. Right? But do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus had to be saying the same thing Peter was saying by the incorruptible word of God. And Peter had to be saying the thing, the prophet had to be saying what Peter and Jesus was both saying. That to be born again, you got it through justification, sanctification, and baptism. Where do you hear that priest anymore in the people of the message? I've been around 40-something years, and for over 35 or 40 out of that, going closer to 50, I've never heard anybody hardly in this message even talk about justification and sanctification. Just a very few. You know, if that's a fundamental foundation for the new birth, then how can you bypass it? Well, you just believe the prophet. Well, the devil beat you. Judas got a whole lot further than that. Because Brother Brown said he did. I think I got it in here. He said, Judas, come up to justification. He was St. John 17. He was sanctified. But of course, all we've got to do now is believe the prophet and get baptized. You know, we do probably put a little bit of limitations on that. We do ask for the people to get baptized, you know. Because, you know, that is the promise in the Scripture. And you say, well, is baptism in water essential? The truth is, the truth says, repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, show me anywhere in the Scripture you can get it without that. Now, I show you in the Scripture, they got it, and then was baptized later.
Right. That's right.
That was just right, and I've got it in here. I probably won't cover it, but, you know, the people of this message even still arguing over whether, and I've heard them years ago, arguing over whether Jesus baptized or the disciples baptized. You never heard that one argued? Where the Bible said that Jesus baptized none but his disciples. They didn't say Jesus didn't baptize. I got scripture for it, if you want to hear it. And I got a quote from Brother Branham where he said that Jesus baptized. That's why I don't worry about it. I just stick in that word. Because if you go over there where in the scripture where it says that Jesus baptized none but his disciples, back up to the chapter before then and read it, and you'll find that these people were talking about it, and they come to Jesus and said, the man you introduced down there, he is baptizing. But you see, that's where people, they just, it doesn't make no difference what the Bible says. It's what their ideas or concept is. All right? So now, I'll keep laying it down. I keep asking the question. Was Jesus and Peter and Brother Branham all saying the same thing? Then why does it say you must be born of water and a spirit? We know what Peter says. Peter says that you're being born again by the incorruptible word of God. That's his definition. We know what Brother Brown said. He said the new birth consists of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says you can be baptized on your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. But he said if that soul Amen. That come from God. Amen. All right. So what does it mean? What does it mean? See, I had it down to go through baptism as one. Because really, to me, it's a great thing. You know that the children of Israel were baptized under Moses in the Red Sea. That's what the Bible says. That's the 1 Corinthians 10 and 2. What's baptism got to do with it? Is what I said. Is it essential? The truth is, what's baptism got to do with it? Baptism shows what you believe. They believed Moses and went through the Red Sea. And the Bible says Paul covers it baptized. Huh? You remember over in Acts where that they come and Paul was talking there in Acts 19. Unto what then were you baptized? They had a good baptism. It was under John. But that wasn't good enough. Why? Because Jesus has said, repent every one of you and be baptized. Not as John probably was using no name, because he surely wasn't baptizing in his own name, even though that is, if you study baptism sometime and run it, the followers were baptized in the name of the person who was their leader. That was the following point to why you come to baptisms. Right? But you see, but why would Jesus say that? And why would he leave out the blood? Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the repentance don't remit the sins, right?
Right.
the baptism don't remit the sins. Repentance remits the sins. Now, I got to get it in the right statement. You repent, that remits your sins. The baptism just shows what you're following. Right. And see, if you won't get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then don't tell me you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I go back to the scripture.
Right. Amen.
Well, I was baptized with Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I'm going to stay this way. Go right ahead. Just don't tell me you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost because you ain't got no scripture. I've even baptized some, and I found the other day where Brother Brown said he was talking about it, and somebody asked him a question or something. He said, I've baptized a lot of people over again. Now, what he was talking about was people that had been baptized correctly. I'll find you the quote if you like it. He said, I've baptized them again. He said, why? Because you want a clear conscience. I've had people to come here and say, Brother Dale, I was baptized when I was just a little kid, and I don't really know. You know, correctly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but I don't really know. I said, okay, we'll just go. We can take care of that in a hurry. Well, we'll go get you baptized. Because we want your conscience cleared. But go ahead, brothers. You're going to have to jump a long ways now. So jump over to number 19. You'll see I cut out a lot of the message to try to get a point to you tonight. And look what Paul said in Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then does your baptism remit your sins or your repentance? Does sanctification mean that you just quit doing things? That's a word for sanctification. You just quit doing things. Or is it that something happens to the nature of the individual at sanctification? You know, we'd have a whole lot less trouble in the message if the preachers would preach to their congregations justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You might be surprised how many in that congregation is not born again. I don't mean it wrong. I'm just plain and honest. How many of you have went through three stages to your new birth?
Amen.
Can you remember when you repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you remember then that something just come in your life and you begin to want to go to church, you wanted to do right, you wanted to follow the Lord, and you begin to see the things of the world were just falling off away from you? There's the danger one, because Brother Branham says you even get a new thoughts and things at sanctification. That's what's dangerous, is getting new thoughts and natures and ways and spirit and things of you, and you start wanting to go to church, you don't want to do good, and you say, well, I must be born again because I remember how bad I used to be, but I'm not that no more. Well, Brother Dale, I don't remember when I done that. Well, I'll just say it like I told a brother that one time. He said something to me, and I said, brother, I said, the Holy Ghost don't act like you are doing. He went out and told everybody that I told him he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I did not tell him he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I told him the Holy Ghost didn't act like that. You say, that's just a play of words. Okay, I got by with it. Why? Because I didn't say you ain't born again. I left it between him and God. But I told him, I said, the Holy Ghost don't act like that. You mean you're out living like the devil and things of the world, drinking and smoking, running around with women and all that, and still claim the Holy Ghost? There's something's wrong somewhere. Huh? What does Peter mean when he's talking about the church? And he's talking about that he wants to get this church to where he can present it to Christ, so that it should be holy and without blemish. What does he mean when he says that you might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing by the word? See, we're right back to simple scriptures, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what? You must first hear. Show me anybody in the Bible that ever got the Holy Ghost that didn't hear a sermon first. Well, I didn't read no sermon. I just read the Bible. Wonderful. You're a very smart person. You just read what somebody else said, whether it be Red Letter or who. But you see, that's where we try to be everything to wiggle, don't we? But don't do too good to wiggle. But can you see that? Now, you kind of went with me a while ago, so now let's see if you'll go. Okay. I don't mean that sarcastically. I'm just truthful, because I'm trying my best to get you to see something. If you get mad at me and get leave and forget it, that's your business. But I'll love you anyway. And I'll try my best to help you. Now, you would agree that Jesus and Peter were saying the same thing, even though the wording is different. And that Brother Branham seemingly has wording that neither one of those used, but that had to be what they were saying. For him to say justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and pull up number 20. Now remember, I believe that Jesus Christ says this to every human being on his first doctrine. Watch him. Says this to every human being, gets this. Except a man be born of the water that's the word. Washing of the water by the word. The word is what brought you to repentance. The word is what brings you to sanctification to try to live a clean life. Right? Okay. So except a man be born of the water, that's the word, washing of the water by the word, and of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit confirming the word, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe that? See, of the water, washing of the water by the word. Word and truth. He is the truth. Water and Spirit. The Spirit coming with the word to confirm the word, making God live in me. See? We cannot understand the kingdom of heaven till that's happened. Well, I read it. You can't understand, you can't see, you can't understand the kingdom unless you're washed by the water of the word. Then when that begins to happen, the washing of the water by the word, that we see the word in us, born of the word and the Spirit, manifesting itself, leading me not away from the word. The Spirit leads me to the word, and the word living in me making God manifest in your life, you'll never understand the kingdom of God and can no wise enter into it. Until what? Well, Brother Dale, I thought washed into the water by the word was after we're born again. It holds on. Being born again is after you're born again. Right. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost don't stop just because you get born again. That's where people don't even know it. Brother Branham taught three stages of justification. Three stages of sanctification. And there's three stages in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Has people turned down the message? You can't be born again unless you're washed by the water of the Word. Now, do you see what he's saying? What did he say? You must be born what? Of water. Of the washing of the water of the Word, which is justification and sanctification. And then the baptism is the birth of the Word that you've been washed by. So now Paul, Peter, Jesus, and Brother Branham is all saying the same thing. Amen. Okay. Going to 21. Going to number 21, which is invisible union of the bride of Christ. Preached in 1965, pure unadulterated, oh hallelujah, leaving soon for the sky, amen, standing ready. Think, your garments washed by the water of the bleeding word. Sound like he's putting blood back in all things, doesn't it? The word became blood. The word bled for you. And you are washed in bleeding word. The word bleeding, the life of God in the word. And the word was bled for you that you might be washed from the filth of these prostitutes and be cleansed and sanctified by the washing of the water of the word and makes your mind and heart stay on God and on his word. So Jesus did say, you must be born of water and of blood and of spirit. It's just not written in letters on a page. Because there's no way he could explain the new birth as just being repentance and the baptism. And Paul spending his time explaining what it was. And Peter had spent his time explaining what it was. And Brother Branham spent his time explaining what it was. They must all four be saying the same thing. What about it? Look how far he carries it back. Go ahead to number 22 and we'll quit. Which is things that are to be, 1965, paragraph 32 going through. Only one form of eternal life, and that was God. There, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See, and you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. Now you're expressed after his word has come in you to light up this age. You are expressing God's life in you because you are a son or daughter of God. Therefore, you get what I mean. Congregation says amen. See? You are now made. You're sitting in church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation and to this people and this neighborhood and where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here because you have to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you got eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the water, the washing of the water of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in your being. Now you have fellowship with your Father God, just as you have with your earthly father. So you are citizens of the King, not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that eternal life dwells in you. Washed by the water of the word. Like I said the other day, though, everybody wants to shout, and they want to scream. They want the people they're praying for to shout and scream. I'm sorry. But where is that bringing the new birth? Which is supposed to be the birth of the Word. I firmly believe in shouting and screaming and hollering and crying. I don't believe you got to be a show-off, though. We were at a certain place one night, and my wife knows this is true. They had a group of people come in that night to the meeting, you know. And when they started the music pretty fast, the pastor looked at the lady, and the lady looked at the pastor, and they nodded, and she hit the floor, jumping a good buck dance. I'm not saying nothing, because heaven help me, I'm not throwing off on her. If that was the Spirit of God, that's between them and God. But I'm just saying what I saw. She buck danced all over the place. Two steps, ever what you call it, jumping up and down. Little dress was flopping all up and doing. Was that the Holy Ghost? Well, you don't believe in shouting and crying? I do. But I believe in his presence in a lot of ways that people's never believed, I guess. I've smelt the presence of the Lord. I told you about it. I've felt him. I know what it is. I've cried. I've done everything in the book. But you know why I do that? It's because of the experience that took place in my heart. Not because of my flesh wanted to get anointed with some spirit. But Brother Dale, we all know you're not emotional. You don't know me. That's the trouble. I mean, if I tell you I smelt the presence of the Lord and I've sat in his presence and talked with him, that I've seen angels three times, I've seen God when I was 11 years old, you think I don't believe in emotions. You're very much deluded in your mind. But neither do I make that experience I had at 11 years old my new birth. Not the angels I've seen as my new birth. Not the Lord that I smelt as a presence down in the woods hunting where no female was within 5 miles of the place. None of that is my new birth. The new birth is the birth of the word I took and held, and God come to me to make that word alive. Amen. And that's why I still believe in preaching justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that's that's what it should be. But then to understand like that, see, why did Jesus, he said, you water and a spirit. When you take the washing of the water of the word, as Paul said, that will carry you through justification. It will carry you through sanctification. It will come into you as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you'll just start your journey, and then now you're climbing, being washed by the water of the word. What would be the headstone to the church? A washing of the water of the word. You're being born again by the incorruptible Word of God. Amen. So would not Jesus be just not speaking of a new birth? Would He not be speaking of the entire journey of mankind related to the salvation of man's soul that would take him off this earth in a change of the body? No wonder Nicodemus couldn't understand. Do you understand? Have you been washed by the water of the Word? Well, Brother Dale, I don't know what you mean. Have you studied the Word? Have you read the Word? Have you laid before God until that Word has come off the pages of the Word into your heart as Christ coming to live in you? Well, I just believe. Yeah, tomorrow you believe something else. But if you're washed by the water of the Word, then no matter what anybody says, you'll not turn against that Word. You'll walk in that Word no matter if nobody walks with you or what. If you have to walk by yourself, you'll walk in that Word. See, because we're being born again. We're being washed by the water of the Word. Jesus wasn't just speaking of just getting saved at that time. He was explaining to them what it would take all the way through the entire Bible to bring us out to the end and the change of these bodies. Come on, brothers. But you see the last quote we were using, we read a lot about Gene, we read a lot about things. That's a foundation for what I want to say. I come here with this seed in me. That's Brother Brown's words. That's what he said. I believe that. But you know, a seed is not worth anything without moisture. Right. A seed that laid in the Egypt, tombs of Egypt for, what, 4,000 years, was took out and put in the ground, that didn't bring it up. But when the moisture reached the seed, it brought to life. But I will say this, where you can think about it till Sunday, maybe interests you. When you go down and buy corn to plant, do you have to put it through a process to make it a germinated seed? Or is it already germinated? Because if it ain't germinated, it won't live. Pour all the water you want to. All I asked is a simple question. How does it become a germinated seed to you? Don't stop me on the way out and say, Brother Dale, please explain. Don't do it. That's the last words. You better be careful how you handle that, too, because you talk about a germinated seed. Remember, a germinated seed's no good unless the water falls on the seed. That proves it's germinated. Think on these things. Let's stand. What we got, brother?
Bless your name. Number 48 in the black.
What do you think about it?
In
washing of the water by the Word.
With bleeding stripes.
Puts together all of the scriptures. Jesus, Peter, Paul.
And just pray that night.
Brother Branham.
And in the
all saying the same thing. When it's in finality, it's justification. Repentance of your sins follows that water baptism. That don't sanctify you. then follows the washing of the water of the Word. As you come to church and you study and you pray and you seek God for a closer walk, and He comes in and sanctifies you. Remember, the unclean spirit has to be driven out. Brother Brown said, you're not right at justification. Read Future Home. You're not right at justification. He said that unclean spirit is still laying there. How do you get it out? By the washing of the water of the Word. As you study the Word of God, as you allow it to cleanse you, and you just start off by saying, Lord, I don't want to do these things. So come and clean me. Remember, the unclean spirit goes out of sanctification. That unclean spirit, St. John 17, went out. But Judas let it come back. Judas let it come back. I bless your name. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
We give him honor.
If you pray. Who is he?
You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. Prisoners sing with bleeding stripes.
In his body, but he's also having trouble sleeping. So let's just believe. He's been fighting a battle of in the body for years about the hurting and the things, and done everything he could do as far as life's concerned to try to get rid of, you know, medical and all like that. And he still has the problems. So, brother, we give you a prayer cloth in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to just go home thinking about the Word. Think about where you're at in God's Word. Think about what He's done for you. How He's led you all of these years, brought you to the message. And just thank Him for your healing. Thank Him for it. And you say, thank you, Lord, you've taken away these things. And let sleep come back to the body. In the name of Jesus Christ. What about it?
If you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and pray.
Just got braces put on his teeth, and some of you that have had them, you know what happened. There's a lot of pain because it's spreading those things. So let's believe. It don't have to hurt, you know. Let's believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our little buddy, condemning this hurting. He's trying to do everything he can to get his teeth straight and make them right. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the ability that the doctors and things could do these things. But yet, that's not the concern. It's the pain of the problem of it that come in. And we condemn that pain in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody else?
We bless you,
God. Had a lot of problems with things in human life. It's causing her a lot of situations. Talking to me about it Sunday is really a bother. And all, Lord, we just ask you to make everything right. Do what the doctors could not do, Lord. And just touch the body in Jesus' name. Anybody else? If you pray, you love him. Fellowship meeting Saturday, if you'd like to go along, whatever, we'll be glad to try to help you and just pray that the Lord would bless us all and keep us in your in his loving grace, all right? Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that what we said was worthy, because you totally changed the directions, the things, and what to speak about, and Lord, we like that, because we want to be what you want us to be for the time, and speak it the way you want it brought. And Lord, just forgive our sins and lead us and guide us. Be with us on the way home as the wheels turn on the cars. May we think about being washed by the water of the Word. That's what cleansed those disciples, was the Word. That's what brought them through sanctification, was that Word. That's what brought them to the upper room. Even though they couldn't follow it and would still say, restore the kingdom to us after your resurrection, because they couldn't understand, Lord. But then when they got in that upper room and they seen that Holy Spirit coming down, they knew then what it was all about. Just be with everybody on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Excuse me, bro.
I came up.